Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. You know where we at. It's the recap, baby. Round 16 up in the Mile High Stadium, Denver, Colorado. You got Eli Tomac after all year long trying to put this thing and wrap this thing up like a nice bow, have the unlimited all-time red plate of winning a championship. So, you know, he was nervous. Hometown boy. You got busting caps around there. You got Mookie Fever all trying to keep the thing open. But, you know, at the end of the day, somebody is going to get a neck burn. And I don't mean the normal neck burn. I mean, just the full-on suntan, babe. Like, just lay there and you just automatically, forever, burnt. Well, that's what happened. So let's figure it out. Round 16, Mile High Stadium, Denver, Colorado. Let's get into it. I've actually never raced in the Denver Stadium. This was a newer one the last couple of years. I think they missed last year, but they were there the year before, a couple of years. So I always flew into Denver and raced at Thunder Valley. So, of course, this is one of those things that you're up at elevation. I raced in Salt Lake City a few times, so I don't know the difference between that elevation and this one, but you can definitely tell. You heard about the riders talking about power and some guys with the altitude and, you know, sickness and all this. But of course, coming into this, you had Eli, you know, doing what he does. The last couple of weekends have been, I wouldn't say even subpar. I think he's been maybe even more impressive to me the last couple of weekends, because he's definitely going into, if it's there, he'll win. If not, he's in full championship mode. And you could tell last week he got like sixth or seventh place, which is his worst finish of the year. But you can tell that's what place he wanted to get. And then even this weekend, he was there. And then he just decided, like, all right, I'll just chill it out. But it was cool to see, you know, like I said before, you get these other guys that have an opportunity, like Jason. He wants to continue winning. Chase Sexton, he wants to get another victory. Malcolm, get his first one. So you have other guys that's racing and fighting for a win. And I think those are the guys that you can see that Eli won't race against at this point. And why should he? Because, you know, he's getting the prize that they want. So he's in full championship mode, which he ends up getting that done. But it's nice to see these other guys racing. And, you know, I just felt like with Alejandre being from New Mexico, I don't know how close that is and not close or whatnot, but he wants to go out with a bang, bang. And I mean, you know, he might be shooting all y'all, but he was dominant this weekend. As dominant as he was, as much as they talked about him being afraid of the altitude and altitude sickness, he looked really good. He looked aggressive all day long. So, you know, you always knew that if anybody was going to win, it was probably going to be him or my brother, or even Chase, but it was all Alejandre this weekend. We've had this happen a few times. You have Chase up front. He's been up front a few times this year, and it's been like that same outcome, you know, making a mistake and, you know, almost throwing away the victory. Because I believe with this type of track, Jason was riding really well, but this was one of the tracks that the track was super, super dry. And there was, I would say it was easy to make mistakes, but a lot of the tracks were, even the tacky ones are easy to make mistakes. But this track was one of those ones I felt like Chase would be good at, because it was, you have to flow really well. And the way they had the rhythm sections, you can almost kind of keep your momentum kind of going up, jumping into that sand and even before the finish line, just making sure you get a nice arc to all that. And riders couldn't attack you. Like they couldn't really just charge in because there was no traction. So guys had to be really smooth. Well, he's really smooth, and it's ironic. He's so smooth for a lot of mistakes that he makes, but I know he's kicking himself, because, I mean, I would say there's probably three, maybe four races this year that I would say he had just as good a chance to win as anybody, and he threw it away. And what he makes a mistake because there's no traction after the whoops. And you could tell people, like, with this, when they have a whoop section and the last few whoops, they don't get any smaller. They stay just as big. You have to like blitz all the way out. You have to blitz all the way out to the end of the whoops. Well, when you do that, going into a 90 degree corner compared to 180, it makes it difficult getting to the inside. And then they had this little knoll here, right here, a little ledge. Chase gets in because he has to blitz all the way to the end of the whoops. Otherwise his bike starts kicking up. He can't stop. He runs into this little wall. They have this wall to keep people from doing what he just did right there, running into the mechanics area. So that's why they had that ledge there. And it was so hard packed that he couldn't stop. And it was so hard packed when he hit that wall, it just kind of threw him up. So for him, it was just another mistake. And I think a part of that came from his line entry in the whoops. He went outside, going into it, which puts him on the inside of that corner. And he felt Eli's present because Eli cut down and Eli was going to try to square him up. So Chase State decided to stay down the inside in his whoops, which made it a different angle, awkward angle going into the mechanics there. And he just ran into that wall. So that mistake was partly made because Eli was so close to him. And, you know, but I think Chase should have maybe recognized where Eli mode was, that Eli's not the type that would even try to hit him, especially right here. You know, he's just trying to win the championship. So if I was Chase, I probably just went outside thinking of who it was behind me. So nonetheless, coulda, woulda, shoulda, didn't do it. End up crashing, race is done, and Eli's out front right now. Now with Eli, I've been in this position a couple times. Maybe not as many times I wanted to, but being able to, you know, wrap up the championship. And I've actually really been in this position for Supercross only one time, and that was 2007, where I had a big points lead where it was like, you know, just had to finish the race. And once you get through the heat race, you're like, whoo, I won, win this championship.
And I was trying to stay real calm, but I was nervous all day long, you know, just thinking of all the bad things can happen.
And where Eli was in a position, he didn't have to win. He just, I don't even know what place he had to finish. But it wasn't up there. He just had to finish the race and he was going to win the title. And it's a weird position to be in, people. And I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it's almost like when you're in these situations, it's like you, the only way you can lose is if you really just blow it. And that makes it difficult to be in that position as a racer, because your whole mentality all your life is to race to win, you know, dominate, you know, die trying. And when you're put in a situation where, like, you don't have to do that. In fact, if you do that, there's a good chance that you could lose. Like, the only way you can lose this thing is if you blow it. So you can tell Eli, in the heat race, he was running really good. You know, the fans were like loud for him. It felt like I was in Toronto in 2014, you know, following around the whole racetrack. These hometown boy winning a championship, you know, his blue crew can't help but to like the guy. And the fans were pumped for him. So he rode well in heat race. And then in the main event, you could just tell, you know, the britches got a little tight, you know, a little tight. Put a dollar down there, you make four quarters in that behind. So he was riding that way, and you can just see him, you know, almost just kind of sitting back and just trying not to make a mistake. And El Hombre was threatened like he always does. I shoot all y'all. And he just rode past him, and then he was dominant. So it's a tough position to be in. Like, your legs don't work. You know, you're just like thinking about, oh man, like a failure. And you can just tell, like, when Jason got past him, then it was Malcolm. Then it was, you know, Cooper. But the luxury was, he put himself in the situation to be in that situation. So it was all good for him. But Eli rode perfect. He won his title. It was all the work that he did the 15 rounds prior to this to put him in this position. So it was good. So contrary, being in another position like I was in 2009, where like I needed a third place, but my boy Chad, like, he was mad at me from previous accident the week before. So the only way, you know, getting fourth place isn't that hard if he blows me off the track, you know, but it's inside. That's almost an easier position to be in than this one, because, you know, at least if something happened in 2009, like, it would have sucked. I'd have been mad, but I still had to race. And, you know, to compare to where it was like in 2007 for me, like, it was like I could just throw it away. So Eli was in this mode, but he did a good job in controlling. And the only thing he needed to do is what he did, and he did it. And so he gets a full on sun body. I don't even know what kind of neck burn, leg burn, whatever, third degree burn we got to come up with. It might be third degree burn, huh? But he got the job done, and it was good to see it. Now, if you guys watched the heat race, it was really cool to see. And they did it in the main event, but it was a little bit quieter. But in the heat race, Eli pulled a whole shot, or he was up front, and you can just hear the roar. And like, I felt like we were like in Seattle, where they put some of that fake noise in there, you know, I don't know, 12th man. But the crowd was following around, and I can tell you that's a special, special feeling to be in. I've had it a few times, I had it in Toronto. It was awesome after I came from way back to first. I've had it in Daytona where I basically knocked myself silly and I finished the race and they were pumped. They were cheering me around. I had it in Washougal battling with Benny Bloss. Well, I wasn't battling with him, but they were cheering me on. But Eli had it. And I know that's a feeling for him. And I think in the heat race, that kind of kept him focused, you know, on his thing. And if you ever seen Eli practice his track in Colorado, it's kind of like this, you know, that dry altitude. He's always ridden good up in at this place and you know, rides good up in Lakewood, Salt Lake City. So he does really well. And I think he's confident because he lives in altitude and what it does to everybody else. So for him, like, I think he was at home. So it couldn't have been the better place to have a championship being wrapped up than your backyard. But you can definitely tell Eli was in a different mode, mindset in that main event. The heat race, I think he was having fun. And in the main event, it was fun, but, you know, at the same time, it was nerve wracking. So, you know, I bet in Eli's mind, he couldn't finish that race any sooner than what he was. I mean, the 20 minutes felt like, you know, 20 hours for him. And, damn, he rode good. But even if you watch it, I go back to the bike setup. If you watch his bike still compared to everybody else, there was times where Malcolm was behind him, even Chase was in front, El Hombre. And when you know somebody's in championship mode, like Eli, his bike is still going straight and everybody else is struggling. They're swapping back and forth. So I think overall, like, it was really his mindset on just getting the job done, compared to the way he actually rode or like setup wise or anything like that. And I heard a rumor that he said he was hurt. I think he said he hurt his knee. He didn't look like it. You know, he didn't look like it in practice. He was doing his thing. Even last weekend, he was going fast, but you can watch like El Hombre, you know, swapping. Especially where you really noticed it, where Eli's bike was really well, is where Chase made a mistake at the end of the woods. You know, Eli's bike is working like them double D's and they're just nice and plush. So he's able to stop and you know, set up a little bit better. And I think overall, even though he was like a long race championship on there, he was probably doing it pretty easily in the sense of, you know, he wasn't worried about the bike. So all that was well. And, you know, you had, you know, Casper, the friendly 27 Mookie Fever ghost behind him and not all white, pretty seven gear behind him. And Malcolm struggled big time in the qualifying. I think maybe it was one of his worst qualifying performances of the year from what I heard. I think he was like eighth. But I think we talked about it, you know, one of the Anaheims where I said with Cooper Webb, you know, when those guys were, you know, charging, he couldn't keep up the pace. He just didn't have the pace. The bike setup wasn't there, you know, whatever was going on. He couldn't continue that hot lap, you know, fast qualifying lap pace. But what he could keep was a consistent, you know, if the fast was 50s, he can run, you know, high 50s, 0.9s or 51s all day long. Where I felt like with Malcolm, the longer that race went, the better he got. And it looked like he was just riding around, being super consistent. I think some other guys, they could close up on him, but Malcolm was just in the zone that track allowed you to be at, which is being really smooth and calculated. And I thought he rode well, like really well. And considering that he might end up third in the points, damn, Roger, you got me. I mean, it's just been a great season for him. So compared to the qualifying, I know he was unhappy and, you know, it was about him backing down and allowing his bike to do what it does best and work in these dry situations and not override it. So he did good. I mean, he obviously got second. El Hombre was gone, but Jason was, you know, doing what he does, you know, all, you know, going for it. And you saw a lot of guys making mistakes. Barsham made a mistake and you know, Eli was just there doing his stuff. So overall, out of everybody, you know, you got, of course, Eli got six, whatever, he's the man of the day. Then you got Jason and you got Malcolm. I think those three guys right there showed a lot of heart and they did it well. And it was good to see Malcolm, you know, progress and learn how to ride the motorcycle throughout the day and then have his best finish of the year so far. Now, this sand section, it was kind of one of the ones, it looked fun, but it also was, it was one-lined. It like, it was weird how I thought maybe they should have made more of a knoll on the inside. So it made the outside rideable. But what you saw a lot of guys even make mistakes where Craig fell at going into the sand off that single. And what was happening was you know, when those guys were landing off that sand, if you doubled in or rolled over it, you were roosting that sand on that hard pack. So, you know, how it is, like you know, motocross riders, you throw, what do you do when you go to concrete starts? You clean off the gate, you get sand off of it. Otherwise, you sit there and spin. So that's the same thing that you're having right here. You're going around a bend, a corner down PCH, whatnot. So they got that dirt on there. Like, it's slippery. So what you saw, I think Jason did it in practice, where even Craig fell out in a race. It's because of the sands being drug or spit into that hard pack, and it makes it super, super slippery. So when Justin was coming in here, the sand was right there, and he just washed out. His fault, his mistake, but it was bound to happen, and it happened to a lot of guys. So that was just the cause of the track being super dry and the way to track where those guys were braking at or getting the sand roosted up in the section. It was just dragging into that hard pack. And then so when he went in, he just went down, and that was it for him. So unfortunately, he went down. And unfortunately, like, he went down. That was it. Can't say nothing about it. Bam, bam, went bam, bam. That was it. You saw Bogle try to take out a mother. Actually, Bogle did take out some dude in the...
Oh, Politelli.
Yeah.
In LCQ.
And dude, he's so smooth at it. You know how smooth he is? He knows when the cameraman's, when they, like, they're not even, like, filming him. He's just in the background. And he comes over. He blasts his dude. Next thing, they're all, like, right there. And the next thing you know, there's, like, 5 seconds come past. And then Justin comes.
Rolling over,
pulling the tear off. Don't even look back at the dude. Like, you know, what did the guy? And the guy knew it. Like, he was like, damn, you got me.
Did they show it on TV or no?
No, I don't even know if they showed it on TV.
I don't think they do.
But it was smooth. Like, you knew. Actually, maybe they did show it on TV, but I saw it in the background. But it was set up that way. I'm telling you, he radioed to the cameraman, said, smooth criminal was about to do something smooth. And he just blasted him. He did a bar shell on the off camera. Then you're like, oh, Justin, just, he got ninth. Whatever. But yeah, you can tell he bomb rushed that fool.
Oh, it was a heat. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was a heat race.
He was altitude.
He didn't want to go to that last chance. Another ride? Shoot. Yeah.
I saw them talking in the tunnel, and he was like trying to apologize to Politelli. He's like, dude, I am so sorry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But he did it off the camera. You see what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't even look back. Look at him. There's a dude just blasting him. Like, nah, I ain't going to look back. But if you go back a little bit, going into that sand section, look how close they are. They right there. And, one guy, like three of them go in, one guy comes out. There you go. Watch, you see it, and then you'll see a smooth criminal inside. Yeah. Boom! There he goes. See, he's like caught, like off the camera, and watch him. He's just cruising, like he's rolling, like just cruising. Weren't they all right there? Smooth criminal. Hee hee. Look at him. Yeah, with Eli, you know, Cole, you said he keeps his feet on the pegs a lot. I think that's just kind of, you know, the way he's. He's always kind of ridden that way, in the sense of, you know, when he was, I guess, the flow mode, when he's in the zone, he always keeps his, you know, feet on the pegs. Even in the corners, like he'll, you know, back the bike in or just kind of keep his knees locked in. And from what I heard, that was one of the reasons he liked the Yamaha, was because it's a little bit wider than some of the other bikes, I guess, wider than the Kawasaki. So I think keeping the feet on the pegs allows him to grip his bike more, and he gets a better tight of it. So, you know, even though he's got his feet on the pegs, he has a grip on that motorcycle that he knows where it's at. And he's keeping his feet on the pegs in these 180s corners that can hold him up in there. He has a little bit of, you know, G-force behind it. But I think that's just more the setup of how he rides. And I think when the way he practices, living up in Colorado, his practice track, it was almost like it was, you know, he's able to learn how to ride a bike in attack mode. And I thought even racing Eli, that was one of his strong suits, was he lives up in altitude, so obviously it helps him. But then he's in a situation is like when I learn how to ride a motorcycle without a clutch, you know, learning to use the power and, you know, using the gears and torque, you know, Eli has almost been doing that for years now, you know, riding up and practicing on a slower motorcycle, almost like riding your stock bike in the mod class. And that's the way he practices. So that being said, like, you obviously got to keep momentum up, you know, outdoor track. He practices feet on the pegs, you know, railing the corners and doing all that stuff. So it's not surprising that when you get to altitude tracks or when he gets in this flow mode, it's almost like he gets in the zone, and it's like he road races in the sense of keeps his foot on the pegs, and he's just like leaning over with the bike. But then you look at the way he rides and his, you know, his practice track and all his videos from Colorado, that's exactly how he rides. He practices that all week long. So I think for him, when he gets in these tracks or whatever, when he gets in that zone, you know, it's just normal to him compared to where some of these other guys, that pace and that riding that way is a little bit different. So I felt like when he came up to this, like there was the only issue would be whether he decided if he wanted to win the race or not. But I didn't think there'd be an issue of him closing his title out because it's couldn't have been the best place. You couldn't pick the better place for him to do it. And I think last year or when he won the title in 2020, it was in Salt Lake City. So it's probably a good feeling. You know, when I race KYB, and I think that's what he's on right now. It used to be like almost like the suspension was built backwards where it was so initially stiff, but then it didn't have the see, look at him. See how easy that was hitting there? And I know as a racer, when I used to struggle at that big time because my setup was so stiff that it was doing what Chase did. Like I had to basically power all the way through it, like trying to shed off the gas in the end of the whoops, like, and try to make the inside was super tough. So what I would do was like almost like get in there and you'll start just blipping the throttle, trying to keep the bike, the rear end compressed. And then when I would get there, like the last couple whoops, I would sit down. So when I landed after the end of the whoops, like I can put as much weight and traction on the tires so I can make that turn where you can see Eli. I mean, he's no rush, you know, he's just kind of flip going through it and the bike's not kicking. And then he's not in a rush where you saw what happened to Chase blitz and he ran into the wall over there. That was it. So, all those little details and stuff is kind of how his setup and that freeness, it's been like that all year long. And it's cool to watch, like he still has the compression side of things, which is odd. Usually you have a bike that's either good at that stuff, but then struggles in the rhythm sections where he has it set up where it's good in both. Like when he drops in huge G outs, the bike still continues to move straight. It doesn't turn on him. It doesn't tuck. And, that's a real good feeling to have. You know, I believe with Eli, you know, we've been talking about it. Like, oh, he's in championship mode. You know, he's doing this. You know, he's got like 7th place last weekend. He's riding around in 5th place this weekend. I think even Cooper might get him. But we forget about the one guy up there, you know, and El Hombre. He's from New Mexico, you know. So, like, you know about these Mile High stadiums and stuff like that. And he's been doing it the last few weeks. I think he's won the last 3 in a row, right? Something like that. You know, like if you see my t-shirt, some people, 5 out of 4 people struggle at math. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he won 4 in a row, 5 in a row out of 3. He won 4 out of 3. I don't know, whatever it is. But Jason, he was getting close like Eli to where he's starting to get, you know, the neck burn. And I'm starting to get a little Wesley Snipes chocolate. So we're going to have to give him a neck burn. Hit him with it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Jason Anderson, you got the neck burn. But you see how I did a little different today, people? Why? Because that neck burn, I mean, it was like a little like road rash, you know, whatever, little burn, first degree burn. But what he wanted was the one that Eli got. And people, that's a special one. When you get those kind of burns, like everybody notices, you get the third degree burn. Hit him with it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Eli got a third degree burn. That's the first one of the first. Why? Because it's the first year of the show. Ain't he the first one to win the title that gets the third degree burn? That's it. That's it. Eli, you made me feel good. Like my other picks were wrong, but you were right. I told them coming in all year. I was like, oh, Eli gonna dominate y'all. He gonna dominate. I seen this coming before I seen it coming. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't see this coming. I thought you'd win the title, but not like this. Congrats, kid. Like, or dude, whatever. Baby daddy, whatever you are. ET, extraterrestrial. You were like that all year. You the champ, man. I know it feels good. People wrote you off. They wrote you off. Talking about, oh, he washed up. He washed up. Oh, he done. Let these new bloods come in, these young bucks, these millennials. But you done showed the 30-year-olds. Is he 30 yet? He 30. Showing the old is still in. We like them oldies, baby. You like the blues. Eli, you got it done. You showed them. And then you had El Hombre. He ain't so youngster too. He might not be 30, but he ain't no spring chicken either. He ain't in kindergarten. So I wouldn't even put him in the millennials. Whatever you want to call them, millennials. Eli Tomac, congratulations. I know it feels good. I know it's still awkward. I can't help it. You're just awkward. But you awkward two number one plates. Eli Tomac, congratulations from here at Bubs World Recap Show, the 2022 Supercross, Monster Energy Supercross champion, Eli Tomac, third degree burn. Hit him with another one, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Damn, that neck's on fire. You're screwed now. You got to have a permanent scar. Permanent scar. You're black. That's it. They're going to start confusing you. They're going to be like, oh, Stewart came back. He changed his number. Number three, right? Yeah. Nah, that's just Eli Tomac. He black. He black. All right, that was it. You know what time it is, people. My favorite time, your favorite time. Stews and stews. But first, we got to take a little quick break. Got to get some water. Got to do whatever we got to do. But we'll be right back with Stews and Stews. All right, guys, we back. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Hell, all of us favorite time. Stews and stews. So let's get into it. Let's have the good news first. Let's go with the stews. Now, this ain't even a default. Because, like, I would say this is like a Brahma stew, chicken noodle stew, a big stew. Why is it a big stew? Because you just don't have chicken. You got noodles. You got carrots. You got broth. You got everything. And where I'm going with this, people, it's all year long. And that's Eli Tomac. He did it from A1 to round 16. We got another one to go, but he ain't need that last one because he made his stew all year long, and he's eating it. He was just eating it. He was eating it, farting all over the track, whatever. It didn't matter because no matter what those guys did, whatever cakes they were baking, whatever it is, it didn't matter because Eli had the stew. So that means he's a stew, stewmendous stew. That's on a whole nother level of stew. And that's what he was, because he was just dominant. He just did it better than everybody else, people. I'm sorry, but he ain't. Eli Tomac, like I said before, congratulations from here. All of us, all the millions of people all in this world and in this room. Congratulations, champ. Two-time champ. You going to make it three? Who knows? We'll see you next year when we do that. See if I pick you again. But you a stew. Now, and the next one, we're going to go down to the second level stew. I wouldn't even say second level, but Jason Anderson, you're going to be a default. I never had two stews for winning the race or winning the title, but you're going to be that one. Default stew. But you rode good, though. Like, you rode good. Like, I just felt like, I mean, obviously you're better than everybody else, but you were riding with passion this weekend. You were like, I'm not to be outdone. I'm not to be outdone. Like, you just did it. So you a stew. And then I'm going to have to say to the Colorado fans, y'all was cheering y'all boy on. Y'all was so pumped. Having the race back on there. Yeah, Eli. I mean, sometimes some people get, you got to get yourself a stew for getting so hyped up for another stew, I guess. But like, some people are hard to get behind. Like, it's not like, you know, he's like, you know, Michael Jordan stuff, like his personality, whatnot. It's like he does some awkward stuff, but he does it so good. Awkwardness can be good, but he's doing it. And y'all were behind your man. Y'all behind your man. Family counts. And y'all was doing it. So you guys get a stew. Colorado. Up there, chin that boy around like that. He was rounding fifth. It was like James Stewart at Washougal. I mean, damn, like, you must love me because I'm back here getting roosted. Actually, I wasn't even getting roosted, maybe by a laugher, but I wasn't even laughing nobody. I didn't get laughed either, but y'all was doing that. So, Eli Tomac, stewmendous stew, Jason Anderson, default stew, and you Coloradoans, whatever, y'all stew because y'all got love for your boy. And those are your stews, all y'all. Next, y'all know what time it is. Stewed, pissed off. Pissed off because, damn, like, I don't even know why you pissed off. You just pissed off. Pissed off because you keep saying pissed off so much and you're just pissing you off. Stewed. First one. El Hambre. Yeah. Now, you might be like, hold the phone. How can you get stewed for winning the race and be stewed? You're stewed because you caught fire. You're catching fire. You threaten all these guys so much. They'd be like, damn, just let this dude win. If you'd have done this maybe like 5-6 rounds ago, instead of shooting your own self in the foot, whatever, shooting everybody else and y'all gangbanging, whatever, you'll wait to the last minute. You got three in a row, but it don't even matter now. I mean, the bonus checks matter. So, you know, you might be stewed, but then you're happy when you go to check. But I know you're a little bit stewed because you've been on it last few weeks And it's like, it's going to get you a second place, but whatever. So I know you, Stu. And then second, I don't even know. Portatelli, is he Stu? Is he Stu because he got Smooth Criminal by Bogle? I don't know. I don't even think they showed it, but I saw it. He's going to hit you with a rap battle. I don't know. But he's so smooth with it. It's like Chiz. You can't be mad at Chizm. It's Chiz. I don't know. Kyle, you just show up over here and ride at my place. Nah, I guess, but it's Chiz, man. You can't be mad at him. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I would tell you one thing, and that was awkward. My phone just went. Bleh, bleh. So I ain't going to be stewed.
Now I'm stewed.
You don't get a vote. Okay. This is my show. You can't be stewed. You can't be stewed at me. Only I don't work that way. I can be stewed at you. But the other one, Eli Tomac. This is the first time we had the double stews and stews of two different people. Why is he stewed? Because damn, that trophy was awkward. Like, you were struggling. And trust me, you see these ones back here? I got two of them, so I know they're heavy. But then I saw that monster girl, Stumendous, by the way, she picked it up. But you were struggling picking that thing up, and you were trying to like, yeah. I don't know. It's lighter than my kid, but heavier than my kid. Yeah, maybe my t-shirt might be right. 5 out of 4 people struggle with math. I don't know. But it was awkward. But it's a good awkward. So that's why you happy. And then you stewed and you stewed, whatever. Eli Tomac, God damn it. I'm telling you again, congratulations. This was a born one. It was born. It was born because, hey, you know what? That soup was just made. It was pre-made. You just ate it. Congratulations, champ. For the 30-year-olds, man. For the 30-year-olds. You might make me come out of retirement. You got Ryan Dungey coming out. He came out of retirement. I think it was partly you. He came out because of you. He's like, I beat Eli when I was riding. I'm from Minnesota. I've been riding until he came out of retirement. But mine, not me. Not me. I can't get my bike set up that well. So, nobody ain't offering me no rides. So I can't do it. So, nonetheless, congratulations. There's your stews and stews. And Malcolm, I'm going to throw you in the stew. Because, hell, you stew. And you rode good. You got second. And you might end up third. Finish it off. Everybody else, y'all could be stewed, whatever. That was it, people. Round 16 from the Mile House Stadium. Y'all just going to go a few miles down the road or east, west. Geography wasn't my best either. So you're going to go there and y'all going to finish it off. And then what time it is? It's going to go outside where everybody gets just a nice tan line. So we're going to have to come up with a new one. Because I don't know if they do neck burns, serious. I don't know if they... fort, the neck burns, whatnots. But nonetheless, we're going to finish this one off. Eli Tomac, Jason Anderson, congratulations. Hunter Lawrence, congratulations. My phone, I'm going to turn that off next time. You, congratulations. Colorado fans, congratulations. And Eli, again, ET Mo, champion 2022, Monster Energy Supercross champ, Eli Tomac. And that's it, people. I'll see you guys next week. Until then, hit him with it, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.